This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
Duncan, as we all know, 2020 has been an extremely hard year. We've all had to make adjustments, some more than others, but it's easy to forget the impact that this year has had on our kids. Well, author and podcast host Jamila Rizvi has written a brand new book for kids called I'm a Hero 2, based on discussions with her own child throughout this year. Jamila is on the phone to talk about it now. Good morning to you, Jamila.
Hello, how you doing?
Well, we're doing great, but I think we need to say a huge congratulations to you on getting through one of the longest lockdowns in the world. And the good news is you hit donut day, zero COVID cases earlier this week. How are you guys doing?
Oh, it was an extraordinary feeling. It is genuinely hard to describe how joyous Melbourne felt when we first hit those double zeros. Now we've done it twice in a row. I've been quite sick the last few years, and a lot of my friends have said, I want to support you. Can you tell me what it feels like? And I've never been quite able to tell them what it's like to be that scared and to be that unwell. And I think it's going to be similar. I think Melbourne's been through a huge trauma. You know, we've had more than 150 days of lockdown, and I think it's going to take a little while for us to process. And I don't know if you're going to be able to really understand it unless you lived it.
Is there a shop that you're going to hit up first once you're free, Jamila?
I am an author who finds it very hard to write at home. I don't like writing in my own home because there's too many distractions. There's too many, you know, things that need to be cleaned or tidied or cooked or things that don't need to be done at all, but I still do them. I much prefer to write in cafes. So I just can't wait to be back inside my favourite locals, not for 5 seconds wearing a mask, barely talking, but allowed to actually sit down and have a cup of tea and have some breakfast and chat with them and write in peace without a small child bothering me.
Jamila, I'm trying to piece together how this worked. I had to spend the weekend at home with my kids, and we all got on each other's nerves and went completely stir crazy by the end of it. 150 days with a little kid at home. I mean, how do you even communicate that to them?
Yeah, it has definitely been a challenge. My little boy was 4 when the pandemic started, and he's 5 now, and one of the things I found difficult, particularly when the lockdown first started back in March, for people anywhere in the country whose kids went through this, was that I quickly went searching for resources because I'm a diligent sort of person, and I could only find YouTube videos of spiky green balls with angry faces. And it just wasn't the vibe I was looking for. So it ended up being why I decided the best thing to do was to write my own story, because I wanted something that would do two things for kids. Firstly, I wanted a book that would help little kids grieve for what they'd lost, whether it was for a few weeks, a few months, or almost the whole year. And grieve is a very big word for a little person. But I do think it's important because, you know, my son suddenly got pulled out of kindergarten or preschool, depending on where you are in the country. He gave up his chance to start AusKick. He got pulled out of ballet. No more swimming lessons. He was allowed to play with the kids in the street if he stayed on his bike, but they weren't allowed to touch each other. He couldn't go to anyone's house and play. He wasn't allowed to see his grandparents. That's his whole world. Yeah. You know, it's his whole world. And so I wanted to write something that would help him adjust to that experience and that sadness, but then, and kind of acknowledge that sadness as valid, but then very quickly move him to a place of feeling powerful because, you know, coronavirus is unlikely to bring much harm to little children. It affects adults and particularly older people with chronic illnesses, but not so much little kids. So he was giving up all those things for everybody else. He wasn't doing it to keep himself safe. He was doing it to keep other people safe. And I don't think we've stopped and paid enough credit the little kids all over the country, but particularly in Victoria, for being genuine heroes of the pandemic, because they gave this stuff up without really understanding it, without really doing it to keep themselves safe, just because it was the right thing to do to look after everyone else.
This is a beautiful book, I'm a Hero Too, and you've already touched on what it's about, but why was it so important for you, Jamila, to take time out to write a book like this?
I suspect it helped my own processing, if I'm honest. One of the things I know about children's books, having read a million every night since the day my son was born, is that half the time the book's for the kid and half the time the book is for the grown-up. Because when you're still reading to your child, you have to devote the time and the care and the effort to read that book. And we all know that with little kids, you don't read a book once. You read it roughly 100 times. And you have to be willing to sit there through that book again and again and again. So for me, writing I'm a Hero Too was about helping little kids adjust emotionally, but in a really simple, fun way where they could identify with a kid that was like them, and then they could sort of go on this superhero fantasy of what it was like to fight the virus and win. But also for parents reading, and so many parents have told me already that they've cried while reading it, to give them a moment to reflect on how this has affected their children as well as them, and to start those really complex conversations. And, you know, I mentioned earlier that I've been quite sick the last few years, and one of the things I've learned through that period is that you don't have a hard conversation with a kid once. You don't have it and then it's done. You have it 3, 4, 5, 6 times, because as they grow up and they develop, they have more questions and slightly more nuanced questions and different questions, and you almost have to tell them stories again and again, but slightly differently, as they're ready to understand more complex and perhaps harder things.
You know, I think you touch on a really important point, is that this feeling of grief, and a lot of people probably haven't felt grief to this level, and trying to walk through that with a child can be really challenging sometimes. You know, I feel like when I lost my dad a couple of years back, talking to my kids about why grandpa isn't around anymore was kind of hard, because they were like, okay, so we're not seeing him anymore. And then, you know, 6 months later, it come up again and they'll burst into tears because, like, more of the story kind of unlocked for them. And yeah. I wonder if, as a result of all this, we're going to see that kind of conversation to have to continue moving forward.
I think you're absolutely right. I think it is a evolving and ongoing conversation. One of the experiences I had was talking to my son about his great-grandfather when he lost his great-grandfather, and we used it as we used a tree in our street that had died as a comparison point to help him kind of understand what happens. And he'd watched what had happened to that tree over time, and people coming and taking it away, and us talking about how sad it was and how we missed the tree. And I realised I kind of laboured the analogy too much when he ended up being more sad about the tree than he was about his great-grandfather. But over time, the real emotions came to the fore. Mm. You know, over the years that followed, he would use that language of us having talked about a tree to be able to talk about someone he'd known and loved. And I think often kids, when they first hear bad news, and even for the first little while, they kind of self-protect.
Mm. Yeah.
That their little brains and hearts almost choose not to go there because they're not ready for it. And as they get older and they're more ready for those harder concepts and ready to come to terms with the idea of grief, I think they're able to let it in. And I know there are going to be people all over the country who think the pandemic really only affected their kids for 6 to 8 weeks or whatever. Okay, maybe we couldn't go overseas, but, you know, it wasn't so bad. I think we have to remember that a short amount of time in a child's life is actually a big amount of time.
Yeah.
Because, you know, 10 months or so for me, that's a big chunk of my life. But 10 months or so for my kid, that's almost a fifth of his life. You know, that's enormous. And I think we have to recognise the context in which our kids are going through this, that even if they're not necessarily talking about it at the time, they do need to kind of decompress and process and talk through some of the things that have happened to them and why they happened.
Yeah,
that's good.
Jamila, this book is all about how kids can be heroes. In what ways do you think that kids may have grown through this experience? Do you think that there will actually be some positives to maybe some behaviours that they picked up moving forward as things return to normal, hopefully as they will?
Well, I think hygiene's improved.
That's true, yes.
I don't think my son has ever washed his hands more in his life than he has this year. And I do think we're going to see changes, and I recognise this is a hugely horrible time in human history and continues to be in many places around the world where people are suffering. But I do think there are silver linings from all difficult moments. And I really think this generation of kids have learnt how dependent we are on one another. Mm. I think they are learning the interconnectedness of humanity at a really fundamental level, because the only way that you're safe is if I'm safe. And the idea of going home to look after one another is a really powerful and quite beautiful concept, that the vast majority of a population who would have got a bit sick but would have been okay stayed home to keep older people and more vulnerable people and people with chronic illnesses, people like me, safe. That's a really powerful concept, and I hope this generation grows up more invested in one another's happiness and one another's safety as a result. Maybe that's a little bit too hopeful, but that's what I'd like to think will happen.
No, I couldn't agree more with you. I felt like, at one point at the peak here in Sydney, it was like a return to the 1950s, where at lunchtime you'd walk down to the cul-de-sac and you'd say hello to the neighbours around you, check in with them, you'd break out the bicycles, you'd go for a bike ride around as a family, and you'd wave to all the other people in the community. And it was like, for the first time, you're actually like, this is what the sense of suburbia was meant to be like, where we were an interconnected community looking out for each other, and it was really nice.
I think that's true. We've husband has his, what he calls his smoko, even though none of them smoke, with the neighbours every morning at about 10:30 a.m. They go out with their cups of tea,
yeah,
blokes, and they stand around and they have a bit of a chat, a metre and a half away from each other with a mask on.
Perfect.
But it's because they miss their colleagues. You know, they miss going into an office and who they used to chat to. And I've always lived in a neighbourhood where we know each other pretty well, but it's been nice getting to know the people in the neighbourhood who I didn't know. You know, we've got the streets got a WhatsApp now. Everyone's planning together how you can do a COVID-safe Halloween to entertain all the kids who've been so well-behaved. And everyone's baking for one another and dropping things off. And I don't think we were as invested in one another this time last year. I think this is new for us.
Look, Jamila Rizvi, thank you so much for spending time with us talking about this book, I'm a Hero Too. It's a beautiful read, and thanks so much for writing it as well. It's really important that it's out there for all kids to read.
Oh, thank you. It was an absolute pleasure, and I very much hope that going forward it's something that kids can keep as like a memento of a moment in time, because I don't want that moment to keep going. I hope it's just something they're able to look back on and say, yeah, that's right, that happened to me, I lived through that.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.